to bring a few thoughts regarding the conference, being ready for the conference. Again, it's a great privilege and opportunity for Home Baptist Church to be able to host the conference, and beginning Tuesday night, a very special group of people will begin to gather in this building, a people who make up a very small remnant in the world today, people who for the most part are faithful members of the Lord's churches, people who love the Lord, people who love the truth, people who love the Lord's churches, people who love the preaching of God's Word. Again, that make all of those things make them a minority. And it is a people of kindred spirit. And as we know, they'll come from various parts of the country. And some of them will make great sacrifice to do so financially. And for all of this, of course, we ought to be very, very thankful. And they will gather here to worship. They'll gather here to praise the Lord. They'll gather here to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another. And they come because they want to hear the preaching of God's Word, which again makes them a small remnant. They come because they long for fellowship with people of like faith. And no doubt they come to be encouraged, to receive some strength, to receive some reviving. And no doubt they come to seek shelter from this life in general. And they come to seek refreshment from the Lord. So it's really a glorious gathering. And I love attending Bible conferences. I try to go to as many as I possibly can. When our children were growing up, we always brought them, took them out of school, did whatever we had to do to make sure that they were in conferences, and I have no regrets about that. We did that instead of going on vacations, and again, I have absolutely no regrets for that whatsoever. But we ought to thank the Lord that the Lord, no doubt, has chosen Home Baptist Church to host this particular conference. Having done that, he has allowed us to host the conference, and he's enabled us. He's enabled us to be able to do financially and physically and materially, and he's enabled us in all these ways. And he's chosen us, he's allowed us, he's enabled us to be used of the Lord. And I do believe that the conference through the years has been greatly used of the Lord. And that makes it a privilege. That makes it an opportunity. I personally view the conference, any conference that of those that we attend has a ministry. This conference, of course, is a ministry of Home Baptist Church, which, of course, gives us the opportunity gives us the privilege to show hospitality and to serve some dear saints of the Lord. But it's also a ministry in the interest and for the benefit of the Lord's churches. The Lord uses the conference to strengthen His churches. And the way that He does that is when people come from their respective churches and they leave here spiritually strengthened, they leave here spiritually replenished, spiritually fed, spiritually encouraged, spiritually uplifted and revived, and then they return to their respective churches, and they do so with more zeal, and they do so with more passion and more fervor and more love and more determination. And by them returning in that spirit to their respective churches, their churches are blessed. Even those who did not attend are blessed indirectly from those who did attend. So, and this is vital. This is vital in the day in which we live, that God's churches would be strengthened, would be stronger. And the Lord has given us that opportunity. The Lord has given us an opportunity this week to be a blessing. And I want to speak just briefly on the subject of, are we ready? Are we ready for the conference? Are we ready? Now, as most of you know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort to put on the conference, and we certainly are appreciative, and we thank all of those who are so willing to do whatever is necessary. There are those who run many, many errands. There are those who work in the kitchen. There are those who clean. There are those who do repairs and maintenance around the building, those that just simply keep their eyes open to see what needs to be done, and we're thankful for all of that. We're thankful for all who participate in those things. And there's much preparation that goes into the conference. Consider some of the things that are done in the weeks prior to the conference. I've mentioned, just written some of them down here. Wash the freezer in and out. Wash inside the refrigerators. Polish outside the refrigerators. Wash the trays in the warmer. Wash down outside of warmer. Clean stove in and out. Wash and polish stove hood and exhaust fans. Wash everything in the cupboards. Sanitize cutting boards. Scrub around the hot water heater and under the laundry tub. Wash the microwave inside and out. Sweep the floor mats. Wash all doors on both sides. Wash and dry all tables and chairs. Sweep the floors. Mop and wax the floors. Vacuum the drapes. Wash the walls. Wash the windows inside and out. Wash the paneling and light fixtures. Wash the mirrors. Wash the sinks, vacuum all the pews, clean out the songbook racks, wash and polish the pews, clean the greenery plants in the baptistry, dust the flower arrangements, vacuum and clean behind and around the organ and piano, remove chairs from the choir loft, dust around the sound booth, clean the copy room, and then there's all the shopping, and then there's all the ordering, and all that goes into organizing the meals, and there's the folding of the napkins. And again, this is just some of the things that are done prior to the conference. Some of the preparation that is made. But there is another kind of preparation that's far, far more important. and many times is left undone. So again, we ask, are we ready for the conference? Are we truly ready for the conference? Are we prepared? And we want to speak concerning being spiritually prepared. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. This preparation that we're going to, and we're going to be brief, but this preparation that we're going to speak about is really preparation that we ought to make every single Lord's Day when we come to God's house, every single Wednesday evening. People will be getting dressed for church, and they will say, I'm getting ready for church. No, you're really not. You're getting dressed for church. That doesn't necessarily make you ready for church. There's only one thing that can make you ready, and that is a preparation of the heart. And if most of us would examine, I believe we would find that we're more concerned, and we probably spend more time preparing the outside rather than the inside for worship. So this, what we're speaking about tonight, is something that ought to be done all the time. The truth is, if we would do this all the time, you wouldn't get too far from the Lord. I mean, if every Sunday you got serious about preparing for worship, you can't get too far. So in 1 Samuel 7 and verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. And then notice what is said of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 in verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. You can't really seek God unless your heart is prepared to do so. That's why in salvation, we didn't seek God until God did a work on our hearts. Your heart has to be in a certain frame in order before you will seek the Lord. Now, all worship is a seeking of the Lord. And we have to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord. Then notice in Matthew 23, and I preached on these verses about 30 years ago, haven't done so since, as far as just preaching a particular message on these verses, and they upset people, and the reason they upset people is because it's so close to home. And in verse 25, we'll read through verse 28. Jesus is talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He addresses them as hypocrites there in verse 25. He says, this is why I call you hypocrites. For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within, they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. And then we have that again, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You see, you can clean the outside of the cup, but that doesn't remove the filth from within. And the inside of the cup really is more important than the outside. You can decorate a grave. That doesn't change what's in that ground. Doesn't change it one iota. You can make that grave look beautiful, but that doesn't take away the bones. Doesn't remove any of those things. Verse 28, you can outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within. So there is a preparation of heart. There is a preparation of that which is within. Preparation means getting ready. If you are making preparation, you are getting ready for something. It is getting everything set, getting everything in order. Now we are to make preparation of heart to meet with God. We meet with the Lord. This week we are going to meet with the Lord. That requires a preparation. You would prepare to meet anybody else. And we come to the house of God to meet the Lord. And there ought to be a preparation of heart. There ought to be a getting ready, a getting everything set to meet the Lord. Are we ready? Are we ready to meet with the Lord? When we came in here this morning, when we came in here this evening, when we will gather here Tuesday evening, are we ready to meet with the Lord? We should be. We don't know how God is going to meet with us, but we ought to be ready. We ought to be prepared to meet with God. We come to worship. We come to worship. And we ought to be prepared to worship the Lord. Worshiping the Lord involves two things, two main things. It involves a giving unto God. So we must be prepared to give. But it also involves a receiving from God. Your hearts have to be prepared to receive from the Lord. And when our hearts are prepared to receive from the Lord, then we appreciate what is received. Whatever it is, whether it comes in the form of rebuke or whether it comes in the form of exhortation or whether it comes in the form of encouragement, none of that matters. What matters is when we've made preparation, we appreciate what we receive from the Lord. Now this preparation of heart is referred to many times in the Word of God in a variety of ways. You remember the children of Israel when they went to Mount Sinai. Moses said, "Sanctify yourselves." They were getting ready to meet God. And he said, "Sanctify yourselves." That is just another way of saying, be prepared. You're going to meet God. Be prepared. Though that phrase, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves. That is just another way of saying, be prepared. Be prepared. In Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And also Hosea chapter 10. We see the same message here in Jeremiah 4 and verse 3. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. And then he went on to say, circumcise yourselves. What he was telling them is prepare. Prepare. Now notice in the book of Hosea. The book of Hosea, chapter 10, in verse 12. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. Because it is time to seek the Lord. Again, it takes preparation to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. That is a picture of the weeds and the thorns and the briars must all be turned up by the roots. There must be a clearing away of the rocks and the broken glass and the sticks. It's not just pulling a weed over here and then running over here and pulling another weed. It's rooting things up in preparation to receive seed. And that is also true spiritually. Break up your fallow ground. That is, the ground must be plowed. The ground must be made soft so that it is able to receive the seed. And that is true for you and I every time we assemble. Every time we assemble to meet with God, preparation should have been made. That is why I believe it's important what you do on Saturday evenings. Because you ought to be beginning to make preparation for the Lord's day. What you do on Sunday afternoons ought to be preparing you for Sunday evening. Well, let's be honest. Many people on Sunday afternoons fill up their afternoon with the world. That's hardly making preparation for Sunday evening. There's very little preparation made when it comes to worshiping the Lord. Oh, we'll put on nice clothes. Nothing wrong with that. We're not criticizing that. But that's not being prepared. That's not being prepared. That's washing the outside of the cup and not washing the inside. That's decorating a grave. It's not being prepared to worship. This preparation of heart, this getting ready, this getting everything set, is illustrated in the parable of the soils. Notice in Matthew chapter 13. And he mentions four soils, and these soils, of course, represent four different types of hearts when it comes to receiving the Word of God. And really, though he mentions four, there's really only two. There's one that receives it and there's one that doesn't. But the first soil that he mentions in verse 4 is the wayside. And you notice some seeds fell by the wayside. They didn't last long. The fowls came and devoured them up. There are many today who attend worship services, but what they hear doesn't last long. The fowls come and devour them up because they're wayside hearers. Verse 5 says that some fell upon stony places. They showed there was some fruit, but because there was no depth, because the ground had not been prepared, when the sun came up, the plant withered away. Again, it didn't last. It didn't last. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. He mentions what those thorns are in verse 22. That's the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he, the individual, not the word, but he, the individual, becometh unfruitful because the word is choked. And then in verse 8, but other fell into good ground. That's ground that's been prepared. That's ground that's been prepared to receive the seed. That's fallow ground that has been broken up. And this ground brought forth fruit, brought forth an abundance of fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now there's a difference. Some will only be 30-fold Christians. Some will be 60-fold. Some will be 100-fold. But wouldn't you just about die for a whole church full of 30-fold? That'd be wonderful. But you have to have your ground prepared. The heart must be prepared. James speaks of this preparation of heart in James chapter 1. James 1 verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that is, lay aside anything that could possibly get in the way, and receive, that is, accept, welcome, and believe with meekness. And that shows a spirit that is ready to be controlled by what is received. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save, to rescue your soul. So this preparation includes a dying to self, includes a putting self under, includes taking care of all the deeds of the flesh. It is getting ready. It is getting everything set within ourselves to receive the Word of God. John said in Revelation 1 that he was on the isle, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That's what it means to get prepared. It means putting yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You are now under the control of the Spirit of God. You've laid all opinions, you've laid everything to the side, and you are strictly under the influence of the Spirit of God. That takes preparation. That takes a preparation of heart. And the best preparation we can make for the conference is a preparation of heart. All other preparations are not absolutely necessary for a spiritual time in the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do all those other things. I'm not saying that at all. But let me tell you something. Cleaning the freezer is not necessary for a spiritual time in the Lord. That's not necessary. Again, am I saying we shouldn't do that? Of course not. But we need to keep things in a proper order.
It's not necessary to have a spiritual time in the Lord to have a meal. It's not necessary. It's nice. We wouldn't want to think of a conference without it. And we wouldn't want to put on a conference without cleaning the building. But those things are not absolutely necessary. Yet we do spend a lot of time doing those things. Are you advocating that we spend less time doing those things? No, not at all. I'm advocating that we spend more time making spiritual preparation. That we do not get it in our minds that because the building is clean, we're now ready. No, that doesn't make you ready. The only way you can be ready is to have a preparation of heart. And that involves some work. That involves some effort. And it's not a pleasant thing. It's easier to clean the freezer than it is to clean your heart. It's easier to mop and wax floors and wash windows than it is to prepare our hearts. Because in this preparation of our hearts, our sin, in all of its forms, and there are many forms, in all of its disguises. You know, when you begin to deal with your sin, when I begin to deal with my sin, I have to recognize all its disguises. There are many. So it's dealing with sin in all its forms and all its disguises. If we're going to be spiritually prepared, sin has to be dealt with. And the reason it has to be dealt with is because of the nature of sin. You see, sin has the power to enslave us. It has the power to control us. And we're not going to have a spiritual time in the Lord unless we're controlled by God. Sin has a power to blind us. It has a power to cripple us and to strip us spiritually. Sin just gets in the way. It gets in the way of everything. Everything that's good, sin gets in the way. And when it comes time to meet with God, sin gets in my way. Sin gets in your way. And it has to be dealt with. It has to be dealt with because it's monstrous. It's a roadblock. It is an obstacle to the blessings of God. You and I have never experienced a service where everybody has come prepared to worship God. What a service it would be. What a difference. What a difference it would make. Again, there are many things that we could fail to do, and we could still have a wonderful time in the Lord. But if we fail to deal with sin, sin suppresses the blessings of God. That's always been the case. And when one is not prepared and ready to hear and receive from the Lord, if sinful attitudes and sinful feelings and sinful thinking is not dealt with, those are obstacles. The devil, of course, is always an obstacle. But what does the devil use? He uses our sin. He uses our sinful attitudes, our sinful feelings, our sinful thinking. The judgment seat of Christ. People will answer for their sinful attitudes and feelings that they have dragged in with them to the house of God. And the blessings of God have been suppressed and withheld. You cannot be spiritually prepared. You cannot be spiritually ready to meet with the Lord, to worship the Lord, to receive from the Lord. If personal sin is ignored, if personal sin is excused, if personal sin is minimized, justified, hid, or whatever else, it has to be dealt with. And preparation of heart brings us face to face with our own sins. That's why it's not a pleasant thing to make preparation of heart. Because as soon as you begin to work upon the heart, as soon as you begin to break up that fallow ground, you are now face to face with sin. And what are you going to do with it? Many, of course, they just ignore it, excuse it, blame someone else, whatever. When we make preparation, we begin to see the vileness. We begin to see that my sins are filthy. That my sins are a serious matter. I mean, if it suppresses the blessings of God, that's a serious matter. If it is an obstacle to the blessings of God, if it is an obstacle to me receiving from God, that's a serious matter. That is far more serious than someone forgetting to clean out the refrigerator. Far more serious. Yet people are going to get more upset over a refrigerator that hasn't been cleaned than they do over hearts that are filled with filth. We need to be prepared. This preparation involves we've faced our sins. Now there's sorrow and grief over sins. There's a turning from sin. There's a fleeing from sin. And there is a fleeing to God. So this preparation of heart deals with anything that gets in the way. Anything that's in the way must be dealt with. And you can deal with all of those things and come into the house of God and you can sit down and here they come again. There's things that get in the way. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it right then. This is how we keep our hearts prepared. We're told in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17 that the flesh is against the Spirit. Our flesh is opposed to the Spirit of God. Our flesh is hostile to the Spirit of God. Our flesh is antagonistic and resistant toward the Spirit of God. Our flesh is in disagreement with the Spirit of God. Something has to be done with the flesh if we're going to be prepared to meet with God. And the best way to assure that you have a spiritual time in the conference is to have our hearts prepared to meet with the Lord. So this preparation of heart, this getting ready, getting set, means that we remove all that would hamper. And you say, well, I've got such and such in my life, but I don't believe that that is really hampering anything. Why don't you ask the Lord about that? Instead of you deciding what hampers, why don't you just go to the Lord and you ask Him what hampers, what obstructs, and what interferes with receiving the things of God? What is it that blocks the Word of God
from getting into our heart. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 1, Paul prayed, he asked the Thessalonians to pray for him that the word of God would have free course. That's what we desire. That's what we ought to always desire. For the word of God to have free course. That there be nothing to get in the way. So I ask you tonight, are you personally ready? Are you personally ready to meet with God? That requires a spiritual house cleaning. And this is a house cleaning that is thorough. It is in depth. It is extensive. We have a wonderful opportunity at the conference. We have a wonderful opportunity every time we assemble together. It seems to me the greater the opportunity, the greater the responsibility, the more serious we ought to be about making preparation. So I ask you again, are we ready? Are we ready for the conference? Are we going to be ready? Tuesday evening. Is everything set in our heart where we can meet with God and where we can be blessed of God? So are we ready? Are we ready to have a spiritual time in the Lord? That's what we desire, is to have a time of spiritual refreshment, a time of spiritual revival. And really, the members of Home Baptist Church, we have more responsibility in this area than anyone else that comes. Not that they don't have responsibility to be ready, but we have more. So examine your heart. Are you ready? And if you're not, would you get ready? Would you get ready before Tuesday rolls around? It's going to take more than a 5-minute prayer before services on Tuesday evening. Examine your heart. Examine your life. And let's get ready for a wonderful time in the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.